pray for the Lord's blessing on the reading and preaching of His Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You and ask that You would give us eyes to see and ears to hear of the glorious riches of Your grace that are given to us in our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. You would turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. We'll begin reading at verse 1 and continue reading through verse 35 of Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 1. Hear now the word of our God. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.' And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so that they did not know him. And he said to them, 'What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?' Then the one, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said to him, 'Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days?' And he said to them, 'What things?' So they said to him, 'The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company, who arrived at the tomb early, astonished us when they did not find his body. They came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?' And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther, but they constrained him, saying, 'Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent.' And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us?" So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed, and has appeared to Simon." And they told about the things that had happened on the road, and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, today, as you may have guessed, is Easter Sunday, a day of great joy in the Christian calendar for a good reason. It is the day of triumph when our last enemy, death, has been defeated. When we are assured that Christ's sacrifice on the cross was sufficient to pay for all of our sins. If Christ was not raised from the dead, we would not be assured of that. We would not know that. But because he is risen, we are given every assurance that Christ's sacrifice on the cross was sufficient to pay for all of our sins. And we have the benefit of the witness of the whole New Testament to tell us all of these glorious truths and many more besides. But when we look at the gospel accounts of this day did not start as a day of joyful triumph for the disciples and the followers of Jesus. They were sad. They were scared. They were dejected, feeling left and abandoned by Jesus. They are lost in the world and sheep without a shepherd. Or so they thought. And it is quite amazing that this was the case in one regard, and yet in another, not. It is astonishing that the disciples would be in this defeated, scared, and confused state, because Jesus had multiple times told them that he would die and rise again on the third day from the dead. Whether or not Jesus had explicitly explain to his disciples at this point the prophecy in Psalm 16 where David places his hope in the fact that God will not let the body of the Christ, the Holy One, see decay or corruption, meaning that the body of the Christ would be raised from the dead. David, all those years before, placed his hope in the resurrection of the Savior. They would have been trained by Jesus on how to interpret Scripture. They could have put the pieces together, even if Jesus hadn't laid them out point by point. We know that eventually they get there, because Peter quotes that passage in his Pentecost sermon in Acts 2. But they're not there yet. They also knew that Jesus had the power to raise others from the dead. They had seen other people being raised from the dead. We think that that would be a new thing. That would be a crazy thing. But they had seen it happen. This was not a new experience to them either. So on the one hand, they should not be in this state of mourning and despair. But on the other hand, from a human perspective, we can understand it. They had seen the hatred and the power of the forces of evil in the way that their own brother, Judas, had betrayed Jesus and them. The way that the religious rulers so desperately wanted to kill Jesus. To see the unjust way that Pontius Pilate had treated Jesus so cruelly Just think about the fact that Pontius Pilate had no problem flogging Jesus. A flogging that would have ripped the flesh off of his bones and left him one stripe away from death. He had no problem doing that, even though he knew he was innocent. They had seen the cruelty and evil of this unjust judge, and even how he was controlled by his fear of the religious rulers rather than doing what was right. They had seen the powers of evil. And they had seen the one who had the power to calm the wind and the waves, raise people from the dead, heal all kinds of diseases, cast out demons, die. And from an outward perspective, die helplessly on a cross. Not seemingly to realize that Jesus went willingly. And that his sacrifice on the cross was actually a display of his power, not his weakness. But they had not yet understood that. Even as the women come back from the empty tomb, and even as Peter, and as we know from John's account, John 2, returned back from the tomb and told of how the tomb was empty, many of the disciples still did not believe. Even Peter marveled and wondered, but he did not yet believe. We then come to the two disciples who were traveling on the road to Emmaus. And Luke gives us great detail here where the other Gospels say nothing of this account of the two disciples and Jesus' encounter with them. Matthew, in his account of the resurrection, wants to give us evidence of Jesus' resurrection, that it really did happen, just as all the scriptures foretold. Mark wants to leave us with a sense of wonder and amazement that the promises of God really have come true. John wants us to see the gentle heart of our Savior going after the women, particularly Mary Magdalene, and also encouraging Peter of the forgiveness that was given to him for him denying the Savior three times. Luke, though, is very concerned in emphasizing this particular episode in the resurrection story in order to showcase Jesus as the good shepherd who goes after his sheep, even when they have gone astray. Even when they are filled with fear, doubt, and unbelief, Jesus still goes after them in love and encourages them all along the way. Even when they feel as though Jesus had abandoned them. These two disciples, though they had heard the witness of the women and the witness of Peter and John, that the tomb was empty, still left Jerusalem. They left. They were walking away. They thought it was all over. And they went away sad. They thought that Jesus was the Christ, but now it seemed like it was all for nothing. The kingdom of God was never going to come. It was never going to happen. It was all over. But Jesus, the Hound of Heaven, pursues these men with his love and grace and catches them on the road. Because he wants them to go back to Jerusalem to be with his brothers and sisters there so that when he made his appearance in that room with them, they would be there too. That is the kind of love that our Savior has for his people. Jesus pursues these two men with love and grace and catches them on the road and asks them a question. What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? Then Cleopas answers in a shocked, surprised, but even a demeaning way. Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days? Now, if Jesus held a straight face here, he must have a drier sense of humor than I do. Because he says in verse 19, what things? I mean, I don't know how he could have held a straight face at that moment, but maybe he did. But he knew better than anybody what had happened. But please, tell me, what happened? And both of these disciples, having their eyes restrained, probably because they were still having a hard time believing that Jesus would be raised from the dead, go on and explain to Jesus all the things that had happened in the previous few days. And at the end of their recounting of these things, Jesus gives them a gentle rebuke in verses 25 through 27. We read there, "Then he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Notice, there is a rebuke in there. There is correction, but there's also encouragement. Jesus goes back through the whole Old Testament, starting with the five books of Moses and right on through to Malachi, telling them all the things that pointed to him and to his sacrificial death on the cross and to his wondrous resurrection. And I so love this about this passage, that these men were encouraged by Jesus' teaching. They were strengthened in faith, hope, and love as Jesus talked with them and taught them from the scriptures. We see this because they did not want Jesus to leave them, but to continue teaching them, even though they did not know it was Jesus. They say afterward that their hearts burned within them because they were hearing the voice of the Good Shepherd, even though in their sadness they did not recognize him. And this is a glorious truth, that even when we are in the midst of great despair, of doubt, of grief, our crucified and resurrected Savior is always with us, pursuing us with his grace and love, even when we fail to see him. That even in the darkness of our circumstances, as they seem to overwhelm us and we feel beyond the hope of being helped, Jesus is still faithful. He is still with us. There are many different versions of the poem Footprints in the Sand. Many of you are probably familiar with that poem, but one of the renditions goes like this. "One night I dreamed a dream as I walked along the beach with my Lord. Across the dark sky flashes scenes from my life. For each scene I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one to my Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I look back at the footprints in the sand. I notice that at many times along the path of my life, especially at the very lowest and saddest times, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I need you most, you would leave me. He whispered, 'My precious child, I love you and will never leave you, never ever, during your trials and testings. When you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you.'" There is something very true about that poem, and we see it here in this passage as well. There are often many times when we feel abandoned by the Lord. That feeling is not unique to us. Look at the Psalms. We saw that when we looked at Psalm 88 a few weeks ago. Yet even in the darkness, the Lord is holding us in His care by His resurrection power. My brothers and sisters, even when it feels like your soul has gone down to the grave in despair, Jesus is there with you. And this is the truth. You can never really die. You can never be defeated. Christ has overcome and is resurrected and lives forever with His saints to reign. We are more than conquerors. We are forever alive. Notice it's when Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to these two disciples that their eyes were opened and saw Him. They probably had seen Jesus do this very thing many times before, and they probably recognized the unique things that Jesus would say in His prayer, or the various unique mannerisms that He had as He broke that bread and passed it out. But you see, their eyes were opened when they understood that Jesus was the one that was supplying them with good things, with true life itself, a life in which we are made at peace with God. That is when they saw that it was Jesus with them the whole time. They saw and understood the searing pain of loss was for their ultimate good and benefit. That Christ had to die in order to give them joy. That is the only way that we will ever come out of the darkest nights of the soul. If you are in one of those times now, pray that the Lord would reveal Himself to you and help you to see Him and the joy that He alone provides in the midst of your sadness. It may take time, but that too is for your benefit. Now let us turn our attention to the response of the disciples when they realized that they were who they were walking with and that they were being taught by and eating with Jesus. They immediately run and tell the other disciples that they had seen Jesus. They had come to see the joy of the resurrection life of Jesus, and they could not hold it in. My brothers and sisters, when you come through a very dark time and see the glories of your Savior and how He has delivered you from those dark times and how He has been faithful to you in those dark times, don't hold it in. Don't put your life under a basket. Tell everybody. You don't have to give every gory detail and all of that. And some things are best left private and things like that. But you are wise people. You can discern that for yourselves. But God has been faithful to you in your life. You have something to say about that. You have seen the resurrection power of Christ at work in your heart and in your life. You have something to say about that. You have praise to say to your God. And you have good news to share with all those around you. Look at what my God has done for me. Look at what I get to enjoy now as I look back over those difficult circumstances of my life. And I can see the goodness of my Savior in it all and how He brought me through and blessed me even in the midst of the darkness. That I can see that even when I was going the wrong way, my Savior went after me and drew me back. Because my Savior loves me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. My brothers and sisters, think about the sure hope and joy that is given to you because Christ is raised from the dead. You are already now in Christ. What does Paul call you? A new creation. I hope we understand a little bit on this day what firm hope that gives to every single one of us. We are already now a new creation. It's a wonderful pattern that we see in the Passion Week of our Savior. Because remember at the first creation what happened? God created the world, the universe, and everything in it in how many days? 6 days. What day is the sixth day of the week? Friday. Very good. What did he do on the seventh day? He rested. That was the first full day that Adam and Eve had with God. A day of rest. But what happened to that very good creation that God had made? It was wrecked. It was wrecked by sin. What does Jesus do on the sixth day of the week, Friday? He dies. He dies to save us from the curse that is upon the old creation. What's he do on the seventh day? He rests. What's he do on the eighth day? He creates anew again. And this recreation that is given by God through the work of our Savior cannot be corrupted. It cannot be defeated. This salvation is final. There is nothing in all creation that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You have been raised anew. Your destiny is secure. This is the hope. This is the joy that we get to enjoy every day of our lives. This is the saving power and resurrecting power of our Christ. And that power cannot fail, and the powers of hell cannot prevail. My brothers and sisters, He is risen. You can say it better than that. He is risen!
He is risen indeed!
Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the deep, deep joy that You give to every single one of us. your people, your children. To know, O Lord, that no matter what circumstances may befall us, our Savior is there with us all the way. That He is the one that is holding us by His omnipotent hand. To know, O Lord, that in every moment of every day, we have good news. We know that we get to walk before Your face in sweet communion, knowing that You are our God and we are Your people. What a blessed privilege it is for us, Lord, to know that in this earthly life and pilgrimage, our Lord Jesus has gone ahead to prepare a place for us. We already can say that our portion and our inheritance is already beautiful to behold and wondrous for us to experience. But we know that far more awaits us. We thank You, O Lord, for the resurrection life we already now enjoy. But we look forward to that day, O Lord, when we shall experience it in its fullness. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Deliver us from this body of death and raise us up to be with You just as You have promised. We look forward to that day when You shall come with great anticipation, as do all Your people and as do the heavenly angels and as does all creation. We give You praise now and we give You expectant praise as we look forward to that time. O Lord, fill us with joy and remind us of these beautiful truths when the darkness seems to be blotting out the rays of Your truth and Your glory. Remind us, O Lord, of the hope we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.